We continue our study in the Gospel of Mark, and we are in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Excuse me, please. And who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can come together as your church this Sunday morning. We come by the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for access to your throne room, all because of what you have done for us in and through your only begotten Son. And we seek your face this morning, Lord, as we look into the pages of your holy word. We seek your face. We want to meet with you this morning. And this is our heart's desire. So open our eyes, we pray, that we may see wonderful truths out of thy holy law. Write your word upon our minds, upon our hearts. Lord, thank you for your very presence here. You have come just as you have promised. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been saying that Mark records four miracles in this long section, beginning with Mark chapter 4, verse 35, right till the end of Mark chapter 5. And we have said that victory is the major theme that ties this long section together. And each of these four miracles described here in this portion of scripture declares to us today that the enemy has been defeated and we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, in the storm, we saw victory over danger in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Then, in the country of Gadarenes, we saw victory over demons, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Now, in the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, we will see victory over disease, Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. And in the healing of the daughter of Jairus, we see victory over death, Mark chapter 5, verses 35 to 43. Now, we begin with Mark 5, verses 21 to 34, the text that we just read. Victory over disease. Victory over disease. The people of Gadarenes, they had pleaded with Jesus to leave them after the two demoniacs were delivered. In Matthew 8 verses 33 and 34 we read, the herdsmen fled, and going into the city they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. Mark chapter 5 verse 21, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. So the people in Gadarenes, they sighed with relief as they saw Jesus leave. But another crowd was waiting to welcome Jesus when he returned home to Capernaum, when he crossed the Sea of Galilee. And in that crowd, there were two people. In that crowd at Capernaum stood two people who were expressly anxious to see Jesus. Jairus, a man with a dying daughter, and then we see an anonymous woman suffering from an incurable disease. The man's name is Jairus, but the woman is unknown. Now Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue, and therefore the crowd would have given him access to Jesus. And we see Jairus absolutely desperate. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 8 verses 41 and 42, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. It was Jairus who approached Jesus first, but it was the woman who was first helped. And so we will begin with the woman. The contrast between these two very needy people is striking, and it reveals the wideness of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy. Jairus, the president of the synagogue, but the woman, an anonymous nobody. Yet Jesus welcomed, helped both of them. Jairus was about to lose a daughter who had given him 12 years of happiness, and this lowly woman was about to lose an affliction that bound her with 12 years of sorrow. She was suffering from a terrible hemorrhage for 12 years. For 12 years. 12 long years. Suffering from this hemorrhage. The hemorrhage may have been a continuous menstrual flow. The bleeding did not stop. It could have been caused by a tumor or other disease of the uterus. And that would have been an awful experience. And this suffering had been endured by her for 12 years. And Luke tells us in Luke 8 verse 43. Luke chapter 8 verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. There seemed to be absolutely no remedy, no cure to this sickness. And Mark says she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had suffered many things from many physicians. We do not know what the many things were, but apparently there were many kinds of abuses. Mark chapter 5 verse 26. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Apart from the agony of personal suffering, she also went through being swindled by the physicians. Many physicians, and many of them were charlatans, crooks. They would have exploited her condition, abused her, and made money out of her, leaving her bankrupt. She suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had. That's what Mark says. Mark 5:26. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. What a terrible situation to be in.
And along with this mental and physical agony, she also suffered spiritually. Because according to the law, the bleeding caused her to be ceremonially defiled, ceremonially unclean, and she could not participate in any religious activity of the Jewish nation. Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 to 22. If a woman has a discharge and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. But the problem was, this bleeding never stopped. 12 years. So she had never been to the synagogue, never been to the temple in Jerusalem for 12 long years. She was permanently unclean according to the law. Now, on the contrary, being a synagogue officer, Jairus was no doubt, he was wealthy, but his wealth could not save his dying daughter. The woman was already bankrupt. She had given the doctors all of her money, and yet none of them could cure her. But both Jairus and this poor woman found the answers to their needs at the feet of Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet. He fell at his feet. And the woman, Mark chapter 5, verse 33. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. So both Jairus and the poor woman, they find their answers to their needs at the feet of Jesus. Please come. Bill, please come. Whatever your trouble, whatever your pain may be, whatever your sorrow or sickness may be, and no matter how prolonged your sickness may be, I urge you to come by faith to the feet of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ alone can heal you. No one else can. No one else can. This woman's bleeding was apparently incurable, and it was slowly destroying her. And one can only imagine the pain and the emotional oppression, the kind of bondage that she was going through that sapped her strength day after day. And when you consider her disappointments with the doctors and the poverty it brought to her, you wonder how she endured as long as she did, 12 long years. Then there was this added burden. According to the law, she was ceremonially unclean, and this greatly restricted both her religious and social life. Untouchable. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. So she was defiled, destitute, discouraged, absolutely desperate. And what a burden she carried. However, she let nothing stand in her way as she pushed through the crowd and she came to Jesus. She could have used any number of excuses to convince herself to stay away from Jesus. She could have said, I'm not important enough to ask Jesus for help. Who am I? A nobody. Or look, he's going with Jairus, the synagogue ruler, so I won't bother him now. How can I? She could have argued that nothing else had helped her. So why try again? Why try again? Or she could have concluded that it was not right to come to Jesus as a last resort after visiting all those physicians. But the Bible says something beautiful. Mark chapter 5 verse 27. She had heard the reports about Jesus. She had heard the reports about Jesus. She had probably heard that he had turned water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. She would have heard that he healed the blind. He caused the lame to walk. He healed the deaf and the mute. He casts out demons. She had probably heard that he even raised the dead. So she laid aside all her doubts, all her arguments and excuses, and she came by faith. She came by faith to Jesus. Now, what kind of faith did she have? What kind of faith did she have? Her faith was weak. It was timid and perhaps somewhat superstitious, because she kept saying to herself that she had to touch his clothes in order to be healed. You see, she had heard reports of others being healed by Jesus. We just read Mark chapter 5 verse 27. So she made this one great attempt to get through the crowd to the Savior. And she was not disappointed, because Jesus honored her faith, weak as it was, and healed her. Mark and Luke tell us that she came from behind. She came from behind. She came from behind Jesus. In her embarrassment and shame, she wanted to be unnoticed, naturally. After all, she was an untouchable. And all she wanted to do was to touch the hem of his garment. Luke chapter 8 verse 44. Came from behind and touched the border of his garment. According to Numbers chapter 15 verse 38 and also Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 12. Jewish men, they had to make for themselves tassels on the corner of their garments. Tassels on the corner of their garments. And they had to put on the tassel of each corner. On the tassel of each corner, there had to be a cord of blue. A cord of blue. Numbers chapter 15 verse 38. Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 12. You shall make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. Now this tassel or this fringe, it signified the consecration of the Jew. Jew's consecration to God. That's what it signified. The threads of the tassel and the cords were woven in a pattern that represented faithfulness, loyalty to the word of God, wholeness to the Lord. Wherever the Jew went, those tassels reminded him that he belonged to God. That he belonged to God. So wherever he went, if he was in an environment where he was in a worldly environment, he would look at the tassels, and those tassels would remind him that he was set apart unto the Lord, that he belonged to God. And these tassels were always a way in which a Jew was actually identified. Now, the Pharisees, in their hypocrisy, in their pretension, they lengthened the tassels of their garments in order to call attention to themselves and their religious devotion. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. To be seen by others. Now, modified forms of these tassels are still seen. They are seen on prayer shawls of Orthodox Jews today. And it was probably one such tassel that this woman with the hemorrhage, she was trying to take hold of. But what about the woman's faith? Matthew tells us in Matthew 9 verse 21, for she had within herself, she had said within herself, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. More precisely, the phrase would be rendered, she kept saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall get well. That would be the precise translation. She kept saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall get well. So the single thought in her mind was to get close enough to Jesus just to touch his garment. You see, her faith was almost superstitious. But the Lord honored her faith. The Lord honored her faith. When I was a little boy, I used to cross myself. That's the only thing I knew about God, about Jesus, the cross. And I used to cross myself. I couldn't understand what the cross really meant. But I thank God. It was a tradition in the Orthodox Syrian Christian Church that you cross yourself. So I kept doing that. It was much later on that I understood and I believed what Jesus did for me on the cross. Jesus honored her faith. She obviously knew that Jesus had healed others and she wanted him to heal her. And in her desperation, she was not bothered about the pressing crowd. She was not bothered about 12 years of failure in trying everything possible. She did not think about her lowliness or the fact that Jesus was on the way to the house of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Her need was desperate and Jesus met her need. Her faith was genuine and acceptable to Christ. And I believe there is a good lesson here for all of us. You know, not everybody has the same degree of faith. But Jesus responded. Jesus responds to faith. Jesus responds to faith, no matter how feeble your faith might be. Jesus responds to faith. Jesus responds to your faith, no matter how feeble your faith might be. When we believe, what happens? He shares his power with us and something beautiful happens in our lives. There were many others in that crowd who were close to Jesus and even pressing against Jesus, but they experienced no miracles. Why? Because they did not have faith. You see, it is one thing to throng Jesus and quite something else to trust Jesus. Two things that bring men and women to Jesus Christ are a deep felt personal need and genuine faith. And that the Lord will honor. We do not know why the woman chose to touch the hem of his garment, but we know that Jesus recognized immediately that someone with faith had touched him and had been healed by his power. In Luke chapter 8 verse 46. But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. You see, the healing was immediate and the healing was complete. The Jews considered this woman untouchable. But Jesus was touchable even by the untouchable. He knows the difference between a person who approaches him out of mere religious curiosity and he knows the one who comes to him in desperate and genuine faith. Now my question this morning is, are you in a desperate situation? I don't know. You may be. And you may be feeling helpless, absolutely helpless and powerless to deal with the situation that you are in now. And be encouraged this morning. All I have to tell you is to encourage you, come to Jesus by faith. Come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus by faith. Now, the woman actually planned to slip away. That's what she wanted to do. She wanted to just slip away and get lost in the crowd after having experienced healing. That's what she wanted to do. But what happened? Jesus turned and Jesus stopped her. Jesus turned and Jesus stopped her. And tenderly, he evoked from her a wonderful testimony of what he had done for her. Now, why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus deal with her publicly? Why did he not simply permit her to remain anonymous and go her way? He did this for her own sake. He did this for her own sake. He wanted to be to her something more than a healer. He wanted to be her savior and her friend as well. He wanted her to look into his face and to feel his tenderness and to hear his loving words of assurance. Daughter, By the time he finished speaking to her, she experienced something more than physical healing. He called her daughter. I don't know how it goes in Malayalam. In my colloquial Malayalam, it will say, it will go more. And that's what he's still saying. Mole, Magane. Daughter, she had never heard, probably never heard that word for 12 years. Her own family would have isolated her, rejected her because of her disease. And she lived under such great oppression, rejection. And she had never received any form of compassion. Daughter, that was a word that she probably had never heard since long, not even from her own father or mother since her time of isolation. And if she had just slipped away through the crowd after having received her healing, she would not have met Jesus personally or heard his words of assurance. Luke chapter 8 verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. I read the King James Version there. Because to be made whole meant much more than receiving mere physical healing. Jesus gave her spiritual healing as well. In the New King James reading, it says, made you well. Luke chapter 8 verse 48. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now it's very interesting here. The word used in Greek is sodezo, made you well. And this word is also the usual New Testament term for being saved from sin. Sodezo. When the blind beggar Bartimaeus asked Jesus to heal him, he had repeatedly called Jesus the Son of David. And that was a common messianic title. And Jesus replied in Mark chapter 10 verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Sodezo. That includes spiritual salvation as well as physical healing. Sodezo. When Jesus forgave the sins of the prostitute, we read in Luke chapter 7 verse 50, he used the same word, sodezo. Luke chapter 7 verse 50. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved sodezo you. Go in peace. The restoration, Luke chapter 7 verse 50, that's entirely spiritual because no physical healing was involved. Then we read in Luke chapter 17, there is an account of 10 lepers. And those 10 lepers plead with Jesus to heal them. To heal them. And Luke reports that all 10 were cleansed. Luke chapter 17 verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest. To the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now that Greek word for cleansed is katharizo. Now katharizo, it describes physical healing, cleansed. But listen carefully. One of the ten glorified God and he returned to give thanks. One of these 10 lepers, he glorifies God, he returns to give thanks. Only one of them. And to that man, what did Jesus say? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Sodezo. Your faith has made you well. The word used in verse 19 there is sodezo. And that means that 10 men were cleansed, physically healed. But only one was saved. Only one was saved. In the Gospels, we read of multitudes of people being healed completely apart from faith. Completely apart from faith on their part, they were healed. Or on the part, not even faith on the part of another person. Jesus performed his miracles of healing by his sovereign will. Often it was in response to faith, but it was not always conditioned by faith. The centurion servant, he was healed without having any contact with Jesus. The daughter of Jairus, she was dead. Obviously, she could not have had any faith. You see, you can be healed without faith, but no one is ever saved apart from faith. The woman who touched the hem of the garment of Jesus that day received a double deliverance. She received her healing. Jesus healed her and saved her that very day. Jesus dealt with her publicly because he wanted her not to just receive healing alone, but also salvation. Jesus dealt with her publicly, not only for her sake, but also for the sake of Jairus. The daughter of Jairus was close to death, and he needed all the encouragement that he could get. And it was bad enough that the crowd was already obstructing their progress towards the house. And now this woman had to interfere, stop Jesus. When one of Jairus' friends arrived and announced that the girl had died, no doubt Jairus felt that the end had come. And the Lord's words to the woman about faith and peace must have certainly encouraged Jairus as much as they encouraged her. Finally, Jesus dealt with her publicly that she might have the opportunity to share her testimony and glorify the Lord. And we must learn from this. He deals with her publicly so that she might have the opportunity to share her testimony and glorify the Lord. Remember, out of the 10 who were healed, only one got saved. He glorified the Lord. He testified. Psalm 107 verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. God wants you and me to testify of what he does for us. Psalm 107, the same psalm, verse 20 and 21. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. No doubt some people in that crowd heard her words and trusted in the Savior. And when she went back home, she already knew what it meant to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a testimony to the power of faith. A testimony to the power of faith. And Christ honored her little faith. Peter said in Luke chapter 8 verse 45, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? You see, the multitudes were pressing him, but she touched him. A world of difference. A world of difference. There's a lesson here for us. You can be part of the crowd and never get any blessing from being near Jesus. So make sure you touch him by faith. Touch him by faith. Make sure you do that. And that happens when you're desperate. That happens when you know there's nothing else that I can turn to. All crutches are broken. There is no one else, nobody else but Jesus. When you know that, then you really touch him by faith. Then in Mark chapter 5 verses 35 to 43, we see victory over death. I read to you Mark 5 verses 35 to 43. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha Kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, it was not easy for Jairus to come to Jesus publicly and to ask for his help, because the religious leaders who were opposed to Jesus certainly would not approve. Nor would some of the other synagogue leaders. And the things that Jesus had done and taught in the synagogues actually had aroused the anger of the scribes and the Pharisees. And some of them were probably friends of Jairus. But Jairus was desperate, as many people are when they come to Jesus. He would rather lose his friends than save his beloved daughter. As the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus was responsible for the services in the synagogue and also for the care of the synagogue facilities. He had to see to it that people were appointed to pray, to read the scriptures, and to give the sermon. And the ruler of the synagogue was the one who presided over the elders, and he was usually a man of wealth and reputation. Now we see him. We see him in deep brokenness, in humility. He falls at the feet of Jesus and begs him to come to his house. And Mark tells us in Mark chapter 5 verses 22 and 23. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. Not only was he humble, but he was also a man of courage. Because by now, the Jewish religious leaders were already plotting to kill Jesus. And we've said that earlier. They were already plotting to kill Jesus. And it took a lot of courage to come to Jesus at this point of time and to plead for help. Jairus was desperate. He was humble. And at the same time, he was courageous. It is beautiful to watch Jesus deal with Jairus and lead him to joyful victory. And throughout this entire event, it was the words of Jesus that made the difference. And we're going to go through three words of Jesus that made the difference. First, it is the word of faith. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. This is so personal to me. And that's why when you're sick and you ask me to pray, I would always text you, fear not, fear not. Do not fear, only believe. When Jairus left home looking for Jesus in desperation, his daughter was so sick, she was about to die. By the time the woman with the issue of blood was healed, and Jesus was speaking to her, daughter, be of good cheer, your faith has made you well, go in peace. It was at this point that Jairus receives the news that his daughter is dead. Luke 8:49. While he was still speaking to whom? To the woman. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Jairus had just seen a miracle taking place right before his eyes. He had heard the testimony of the woman, but it's at this very moment that he gets the news that his daughter is dead. Someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Do not trouble the teacher. Luke chapter 8 verse 49. Apparently, the person who came with the news that his daughter was dead also saw the miracle that Jesus had just done for the woman with the issue of blood. Or at least he would have heard about the miracle, or he would have heard the woman testifying that she was healed. But he would have thought that Jesus could only heal the sick. Jesus wouldn't be able to do anything about death. He can't do anything about death. So he tells Jairus, do not trouble the teacher. In other words, don't bother him anymore. It's over. The child is dead. But thanks be to God, this teacher is someone who can be troubled. This teacher is someone who can be troubled. Mark tells us that Jesus overheard the conversation. Beautiful, no? Mark records this. He records Jesus overhearing the conversation with Jairus. Mark chapter 5 verse 36. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." At this point, Jairus had to believe. Either he had to believe his friend or the Lord Jesus. And no doubt, Jairus responded with uncontrollable sorrow when he heard this news. Definitely, you know, deep inside there was, you know, when you hear that your loved one, your own, you know, kith and kin are dead, you break down. This convulsive sorrow from inside. No doubt that was happening to Jairus when he heard that his beloved daughter, 12-year-old, was dead. But Jesus assured him, "Be not afraid. Go on believing." That's the literal translation. "Be not afraid. Go on believing." In other words, you had a certain amount of faith when you came to me, and your faith was helped when you saw what I did for that woman. Don't quit. Keep on believing. Don't quit. Keep on believing. And this is what we must do. You see, it was easier for Jairus to trust the Lord while his daughter was still alive and while Jesus was still walking with him towards his house. But when Jesus stopped to heal the woman, and when this friend came with bad news, Jairus must have just about lost his faith. Now let's not be too hard on Jesus, on Jairus. Because haven't we too given way to doubts and fears when circumstances and feelings have overwhelmed us? And sometimes God seems to delay, and we have wondered why. And that's when we need that special word of faith from the Lord. We need that special word of faith from the Lord. Now the question is, how do we receive this word of faith? Now to receive the word of faith, we need to spend time in His word. As believers in Christ, that is how we receive the word of faith. We need to hear His word proclaimed. You know, I know so many people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't read. They can't read. So how do they grow in faith? In Romans chapter 10 verse 17 it says, "So then faith comes by hearing." I like the way it says that. Faith comes by hearing. Right? And hearing by the word of God. So if you want to receive the word of faith, what must you do? Saturate your thinking with God's word so that you're continually receiving God's thoughts. "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts." That's what God says. So to receive His thoughts, to receive the word of faith, we must saturate our thinking with God's word. Receive God's word. And this is why our minds need to be constantly renewed with the word of God, so that we may receive the word of God, word of faith, into our minds and into our hearts. For each situation we need the word of faith. And in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2 speaks about the renewing of the mind. Romans 12 verse 2. "Let God transform you into a person by changing the way," into a new person, "by changing the way you think." Remember, He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." So to become the kind of person that He wants us to be, so that we continually, consciously listen to His voice and receive the word of faith, what must we do? There needs to be a renewal of our thinking process. There needs to be a transformation in our thinking. A renewal of the mind. "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Then you will learn to know God's will for you. That means you will learn to know what God is saying. No matter what your trouble may be, when you come to Jesus, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid by what people say. about your trouble or your sickness, seek the word of faith. Don't get troubled because of what you hear, what people say about your trouble. Don't get worried about what people say about your sickness. Don't fear, especially, let me tell you this, don't fear when the doctor tells you, when the doctor tells you that your sickness is terminal. Jesus Christ understands your trouble. More than anyone else, He understands. And He will never let go of your hand. So listen to His words of encouragement, not the discouragement from even your well-wishers sometimes, you know. You need the word of faith. Next, the word of hope. Mark chapter 5, verse 39. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead but sleeping." The child is not dead but sleeping. When Jesus and Jairus arrived at the house, they saw and heard the professional Jewish mourners. And they were all summoned. You see, when a death occurs, that's what happens. The professional Jewish mourners are summoned. And the Jews, normally they hired such people when death occurred to express their grief. And it was traditional for them to do what? To wail loudly, to weep, and to lead the family and friends in lamentation. And the presence of the mourners in the home, that is proof that the girl was actually dead. Otherwise, they would never call the mourners. The family would not have called any of the mourners if there had been even the slightest hope that the girl was still alive. So there was a lot of weeping, a lot of wailing. And Matthew tells us that along with this crowd of mourners, the flute players, they dramatized the mourning. How? Using the flute. Matthew chapter 9 verse 23. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. So a lot of cacophony, needless noise. And this was the normal Jewish routine at death. The body of the deceased person then would be buried on the same day. But look at Jesus. Jesus took charge of the situation. Luke chapter 8 verses 51 to 44. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James and John and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." You see, when Jesus Christ enters your life, He takes charge. He takes charge. He brings order where there is chaos, where there is confusion. He took command of the situation in the home of Jairus. He allowed only the parents and three of his disciples, Peter, James and John, to enter the house. He told the crowd to stop weeping. He commanded the mourners and the crowd to depart. Matthew chapter 9 verse 24. He said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. Now the word in Greek for make room is anakoreo. Anakoreo means depart, give place. And the NASB, the American Standard Bible, that rightly translates the word, depart, for the girl has not died but is asleep. Depart, for the girl has not died but is asleep. Now a few years later on, Peter commands the mourning widows out of the room where their friend Dorcas is her name, and she's dead, and Peter commands the people, the mourning widows, to get out of the room. Acts chapter 9 verse 40. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. So Jesus is saying, the child is not dead, but sleeps. And those were the words of hope our Lord Jesus gave to Jairus and his wife. To the believer, death is only sleep. The body rests until the moment of resurrection. I read to you once again from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 to 18. This is a familiar passage to you, but it's important that we understand this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. You see, in death, the human spirit leaves the body. James chapter 2 verse 26. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead. So in death, the spirit leaves the body. As far as a believer is concerned, the spirit leaves the body and goes to be with Christ immediately. For I am hard pressed. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23. Paul is saying, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Acts chapter 7 verses 59 to 60. Regarding Stephen. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The Bible says he fell asleep. So for a believer, death is like sleep. You close your eyes here. That very moment, you will open your eyes, you see Jesus in heaven. On earth, your eyes are closed. Immediately, your eyes are open in heaven, you see Jesus face to face. Stephen says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was calling on God. Just before he died, Stephen saw heaven. He saw heaven opened and Christ at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7 verses 55 and 56. But he being full of the Holy Spirit gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Naturally, he could say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Get so close to the heart of Jesus. Let me tell you this. Ask Jesus to befriend you. Ask Jesus to get so close to him so that, you know, you have no fear at all about death. Because you know, you're so close to the Lord. When you get so close, intimate with the Lord, what happens? There will be no difference practically whether you're alive or dead. No difference. That's what God wants. And this is what he wants to give us. That's why he says, I've come that you may have life and abundantly. Have it abundantly. He wants us to get to know him so intimately so that we can enjoy his presence and his power and experience him. Enjoy that abundant life. Now this truth is a great encouragement to all of us who have had believers, loved ones and friends in Christ depart in death. It is his word of hope to us. Jesus surprised the mourners by asking them to leave, commanding them to leave. And they were following the mourning traditions established by the rabbis. Centuries it was going on. But Jesus surprised. He surprised them. He annoyed them even more by saying that the girl is not dead but sleeping. And in scorn and mockery, you know what they did? They started laughing at him. And the Greek word there is for that kind of laughter is katagelaho, and that means to laugh down somebody, to deride, to laugh, to scorn. It's a kind of hard, haughty laughter by those who gloat over a foolish act done by someone to whom they feel superior to. If they're weeping could turn so quickly to laughter, that too mocking laughter, it just shows that all their mourning was nothing but a paid act and there was no genuine sorrow. Jesus knew that the girl was dead, but Jesus knew that the girl was dead just as he knew Lazarus was dead. John chapter 11 verse 11, remember, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. Remember, Jesus had to explain to his disciples that his reference to sleep signified actual death, not literal sleep. John 11 verses 12 to 14. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." So these mourners, they laughed at Jesus because they knew that the girl was dead. But little did they know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said to Martha, John chapter 11 verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Jesus had raised the widow's son from the dead. He had told John the Baptist that the dead were being raised. George read that passage to us, Luke chapter 7 verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now the mourners had no clue as to who Jesus was, or they did not believe these reports. But definitely, the woman with the issue of blood, she had heard the reports. Jairus apparently had heard of the reports. And then we see the word of love and power that Jesus gives. In Mark chapter 5 verse 41, taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, little girl, I say to you, arise." Unbelief laughs at God's word. Faith lays hold of the living word of God and experiences the power of God. Jesus did not make a spectacle of this miracle. He was sensitive to the feelings of the parents, and he was grieved by the scornful attitude of the mourners. In Aramaic, "Talitha kumi" means, "Little girl, get up." And Jesus added, "I say to you," with the emphasis on that word, "I," because it is only by his authority that her spirit returned to her body. "I say to you, little girl, arise." Luke records in Luke chapter 8 verse 55, "And her spirit returned, and she got up at once, and he directed that something should be given her to eat." Very practical. The girl not only came back to life, but was also healed of her sickness. She was able to get out of bed, walk around, and Jesus instructs these astounded parents, "Give her some food." Then Jesus told the girl's parents not to spread the news of the miracle. Don't spread the news. Why? You see, he wanted the facts to speak for themselves. The time was not yet right for a major confrontation with the religious leaders. It was already brewing, but the time had not yet come. And he had much to accomplish. And he had a divine timetable to follow, which he followed precisely. And that timetable would lead him to the cross at the right time, then the resurrection and the ascension. And so he would not be distracted by the crowds demanding miracles. Now, we have no reason to conclude that Jairus and his wife, we have actually all reason to conclude that Jairus and his wife became believers, though there is no further mention of them in the gospel record. All her life, this daughter was a witness to the power of Jesus Christ. And so was the woman with the issue of blood. Rest of her life, she was a witness to the power of Jesus Christ. Now I have a personal testimony to share here. It's been exactly 10 years. Exactly 10 years plus since my wife has been healed of cancer. 10 years ago, I watched her fall back on a hospital bed, the eyes rolling backwards, and to a layman that means she's dead. And I have felt what Jairus felt. And I have heard those words of Jesus: fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Those words are true. I am a witness to the power of Jesus Christ. To me, she is a living miracle. May 3rd, 10 years ago, that's when her cancer was diagnosed. And May 3rd, Wednesday morning, we met on prayer. I think it was Wednesday morning, right? May 3rd. We met for prayer on Zoom. Some of us, we meet early in the morning for prayer on Zoom. And then I told him, it's her birthday today, 10 years have gone by. And I believe, to me, she's a living miracle. And as long as she's alive, for the rest of her life, she will be a living witness to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the storm, we saw victory over danger. In the country of Gadarenes, we saw victory over demons. In the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, we saw victory over disease. In the healing of the daughter of Jairus, we saw victory over death. Yes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is God's servant. Remember, Mark's gospel portrays Jesus as the servant of God. He is the victorious servant. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto. And to do that, he gave us his very life. He came to seek and to save the lost. And he is the conqueror over danger, over demons, over disease, and over death. And because we are in him, if you would recognize who you are in Christ, then you will have no fear. You have no fear. You will experience the victory, yes, over danger, over demons, over disease, over death. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our lives are hidden with Christ in God. The scripture tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, when I think of that verse, I think of the nail-pierced hands of Jesus. And I think of myself inside those nail-pierced hands. He said, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That's what he says. So he holds us in his nail-pierced hands. And he says, I promise you, no one can snatch you out of my hands. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hands. Now what greater security do we need? The most secure place to be in the whole of cosmos, in this chaotic world, in this evil, wicked world, is in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus. That's how even Stephen could see the ascended, risen Christ, heaven open, and Christ standing to receive him. He could face this world with so much of courage, so much of boldness, so much of strength, victorious. Why? Because he knew who he was in Christ.
And if you and I would understand this truth and grasp this truth, who you are in Jesus, then we will not fear. No matter what the danger may be, no matter who the demons may be, no matter what the disease may be, no matter what death can do. He shed his blood on the cross to break the power of the devil, who had the power over death. And he's risen, and he has come to dwell in your heart. Remember who you are in Jesus. He is the conqueror. And because we are in him, he has made us more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8 verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What is it that is bothering you? What is it that is troubling you? Danger, demons, disease, death. Do you know who you are in Jesus? If so, you will be secure. You will not fear. And that's why he says, fear not. Only believe. Fear not. Only believe. The choir will sing a song, a special song. And then after that, we'll spend some time in prayer. And I want to pray for you. I know some of you are very troubled. I don't know what the trouble is, but I know you're troubled. And we want to pray. We are here to experience God's presence. See, when we come together, that flows accordingly. When we come together,